Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Professor's Podcast, number 9. At this stage of the course, you should all be quite ready to be moving on from the more theoretical aspects of ethics in general and of ethics in PR in particular, so that we can see how these constructs actually do provide some kind of foundation for understanding the more basic issues of ethics in everyday practice. I thought then that what I'd like to focus on this week is an issue that is becoming more current by the day. And that's the issue of ethics of social media. And I'm only going to scratch the surface. As you all know, there's no other aspect of public communication that is as closely associated with public relations as is media. However, when it comes to a modern discussion of ethics in the media, we need to consider not only traditional media, print, television, radio, but also the so-called new media. This new media encompasses the new social media, or as we dub it, Web 2.0, and even more recently, Web 3.0, but we're not going to go there. If we thought that our relationship with the traditional media was fraught with ethical landmines, the ethical issues inherent in the current and future applications of social media to public relations programming are really just beginning to emerge. We'll examine a number of ethical issues in both traditional media and social media. Now, of course, as you know, the new social media have been referred to as a case of letting the inmates take over the asylum, to paraphrase a line from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. User-generated online communities and materials have added a new and only sometimes welcome addition to the communication arsenal of public relations and corporate communication. But it has changed the landscape of public communication forever. And as actor Charlie Chaplin is quoted as famously saying, "Man is an animal with primary instincts of survival. Consequently, his ingenuity has developed first and his soul afterward. Thus, the progress of science is far ahead of man's ethical behavior." The technological advances that are clearly illustrated by applications of social software have taken hold long before business and society as a whole considered the moral consequences of the activities. 3 years ago, in the fall of 2006, a blog called Walmart Across America went live. I'm sure many of you have heard of it by now. Authored by a down-home middle America couple named Jim and Laura, it chronicled their journey across America in a recreational vehicle, you know, the RV, spending their overnights in Walmart parking lots and visiting Walmart staff and stores. Since Walmart has long held a reputation as a stingy employer, among other things, suspicion soon arose as to the veracity of the posts, and even to the identity of the couple ostensibly writing the blog. One person who became particularly curious was a professor at Colorado State University named Jonathan Reese, a labor historian, who wrote an open letter to them demanding that they reveal themselves. Professor Reese was onto something, and just what a can of worms he would open, public relations practitioners around the world should have been able to predict. It came to light after that that Jim and Laura, two real people, one a photographer and one a writer, were subsidized by the public relations firm Edelman on behalf of their client Walmart, as part of a strategy to counter criticism from union-supported groups that had formed to protest Walmart's labor policies. Although there are few rules about ethics and etiquette in the blogosphere, one unwritten rule had been broken. Bloggers and all who read those blogs evidently expect transparency in identification of the writers. The fact that these bloggers were paid by Walmart was not revealed and materially changed the perceptions of their blog posts. Indeed, I guess it could be said that it changed the truth of them. Edelman, I might point out, has since taken steps to enhance their ethical processes in dealing with the new technologies. Blogging, as part of a larger public relations strategy, has become an important component. Blogs are used for developing internal relationships, developing and maintaining community relationships and involvement, engaging important publics in dialogue, and providing information as just a few examples. And as more and more PR professionals are being faced with clients and employers who will request and sometimes demand that the professional communicators take over the blogs, we have problems. As can be seen by the Walmart Edelman debacle, it's not without its ethical considerations. And blogs are just one of the new technologies that present potentially explosive ethical dilemmas. Also in 2006, a video clip spoof of the environmental documentary An Inconvenient Truth was posted on the video sharing site YouTube. And as you all know by now, YouTube was originally developed as a place where amateur video buffs could post the results of their work and have others comment on them. But it has morphed into something far more, including both amateur and professionally produced videos with a variety of objectives. At the time, though, the video in question was purportedly an amateur piece produced by a 29-year-old Californian. Journalists at the Wall Street Journal, however, discovered that the producer of this video was, in fact, a lobbying firm whose clients included a large petroleum producer. Two American public relations scholars decided to determine if, apart from the obvious transgressions of accepted ethical standards regarding disclosure of sponsorship had been violated, whether this kind of covert activity would have an impact on the intended PR effects of such a communication tool. They were connecting up the ethics with the strategy. Although the results of their study did not support their hypothesis that inoculating the viewers against the message of such a video would change their perception, they did find a backlash effect on the producer of the ethically suspicious video. This kind of backlash against the sender of a message after ethical transgressions are discovered is not uncommon, and although it provides a compelling argument to us in the field of public relations to maintain ethical standards, the motivation for subsequent ethical decisions is morally suspect. What then can we do to deal with these emerging technologies? User-generated social media are here to stay, and the temptations of plunging in headfirst are very tempting. These can be very effective tools for reputation management and relationship building, and the cornerstones of public relations strategy. However, ethics needs to be a part of that strategic decision-making. The Canadian Public Relations Society has a published policy statement on communications in social media. In it, they refer back to the relevant tenets of the CPRS Code of Professional Standards with specific reference to statements that refer to honesty, accuracy, integrity, and truth. The UK's Chartered Institute of Public Relations has also weighed in on the subject. The CIPR social media guidelines highlight making the public interest a priority, authorship, and transparency and professional competence also important. In addition, the CIPR also focuses on the need to maintain confidentiality of privileged information when using social media. While media, whether traditional or the new so-called Web 2.0 type, are powerful tools for conveying messages and nurturing reputations and relationships. Just as with any tool or tactic, however, the overall strategy under which it is employed needs to consider the ethical implications. We might do well to consider the Word of Mouth Marketing Association's abbreviated code of conduct. Although they focus on the new media, the three tenets are important in all media communication. Their ROI rules are as follows. The honesty of relationship, the R. You say who you're speaking for. Honesty of opinion, the O. You say what you believe. Honesty of identity, the I. You never obscure your identity. That's it for this week. Talk to you soon.